ladies, and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 here in Chicago with a live studio audience. Woo-hoo! Wow. So exciting, our live studio audience here. And we have a very powerful and very unique podcast today. One that, well, I hope they're all life-changing, but in particular, I hope that this one will actually change your life, inspire you, me, all of us, to become better people, better Jews, and to have absolutely a greater impact on those around us. You know, there's a statement that was made by King Solomon in his book Mishlei, Proverbs, and it sounds depressing, but it's not. It says, and I'll just translate it, it's better to go to a house of mourning than to a Beis Hamishtei, to a party. Better to go to a funeral than a party. Why? Why would he say that? Are we just trying to be depressed? And he says, absolutely not. All the Mefarshim, the commentators explain that really when you go to a funeral, when you go to a house of mourning, you find out what life is all about. You're reminded that our time on planet Earth is not forever. It's limited. And we have a certain amount of time to achieve things. And the person that died excelled in certain areas. And it is incumbent upon us to learn from the life of the person who died, that the remaining time we have on planet Earth will be more meaningful and more productive. And unfortunately, there are certain times where one will go to a funeral where you sense that the person did not develop and fulfill his or her full potential in life, sadly. But we have together in this podcast the opportunity to explore one of the truly most unique, talented, and incredible people that I have ever met in my nearly 51 years on planet Earth. And his name is Dr. Joseph Walder. Dr. Walder. Dr. Walder died this past week, March 26, 2024, at the age of 73. And he left a truly incredible legacy. And that is what we are going to talk about and get inspired by in this podcast. You know, it was actually very, very special, the timing. On March 20th, the previous week, I was invited to speak at Walder Education, which we will get to as one of the branches of the incredible Walder dynasty of the institutions they created here in Chicago. And spoke about Purim and to the teachers and those who were actually training the teachers and giving them the resources to become the best teachers they can be. And I just opened up with my awe and amazement at the Walders, both Dr. Walder and Mrs. Walder, at what they have achieved here in Chicago and beyond. And I said, can you imagine the Chicago Jewish community before Walder and after Walder, dude, the impact that two people could make? You can't imagine their impact on Chicago and the entire Jewish world. They talk about antediluvian and post-diluvian, before the flood and after the flood. Like, it's literally two different worlds, the impact the Walders had, and Baruch Hashem, through the incredible work of Mrs. Walder, are continuing. So where did it start? Let's talk about Dr. Walder. Dr. Walder was born January 19th, 1951. And again, he lived until March 26, 2024, 73 years old. He was, I knew him. He was a genius, but he was the nicest genius you'd ever meet. Very, very welcoming, friendly, humble people at the rabbis at the funeral, and everyone knew he was so humble, not a shred of ego, not a shred of personal self-centeredness. It was always about the other person. And he was a professor at University of Iowa. First of all, he was an MD and PhD, really just absolutely phenomenal intellect. And he founded a company called IDT, Integrated DNA Technologies, in 1987 with Baxter Healthcare and University of Iowa. And in layman's terms, this company basically found ways to make recombinant DNA sequences that were used for healthcare, agriculture, you name it, what field. And basically, from what I have, you know, gathered, and I have many in my Project 613 young professional world, people who were doing research, and I said, hey, you've heard of, you know, IDT? They're like, oh my gosh, IDT in every single lab, scientific lab of every type on planet Earth are their products and what they produce and all the good things that those labs do for humanity and for science and for research and for medicine. He founded it. It's absolutely incredible. So before we even get to the impact on the Jewish world, can you imagine what he has done for humanity as a whole with all that his technology has allowed for people to be healed and agriculture to be better, more productive? How many more people were fed on planet Earth because of him? It is absolutely staggering. So IDT was sold. So it was founded in 1987. It was sold in March of 2018 for a paltry, I've heard three different statistics, $1.8 billion, $1.9 billion, and $2 billion. So somewhere in that neighborhood of funds. And it was absolutely incredibly well-deserved. Now, that is about Dr. Walder's professional success. I'd like to tell you, and we had the real distinct pleasure of knowing Dr. Walder very well. I worked back in the days, our office of JET, which Rabbi Zev Kahn, who brought us to Chicago from Los Angeles, our office was in the Wi-Fi building, and that's where IDT was. It was the flagship tenant of the building, and every weekday was a mincha, was an afternoon prayer service. And Dr. Walder was always one of the first there. And we'll get to how he davened, etc. But I want to tell you a little bit about his Jewish path and his Jewish search, because I think it's very relevant for many of you and all of us who are listening. You know, at 44... In 1995, after his father's death, it was a time of searching. You know, and Dr. Walder was very generous. We had obviously Shabbatons throughout the years in the neighborhood, and Dr. Walder and Mrs. Walder would come and be on our panels and talk about their life experience, and very generous, and also host our students, and it was just very, very, very special. So we got a chance, I got a chance to hear his story personally, how he told it. So after his father's death, it was a time of searching, and it was actually his sister's suggestion to look into Judaism. And he began looking. He went to the Skokie Chabad, the Rabbi Posner, and the Skokie Kollel, Rabbi David Siegel, and he found the truth quite simply. It was really just, he was a truthful man. He had been through a lot in his life, and at 44, he said in 2 weeks, he put a black hat on. Now, that is not recommended as someone who I have dedicated my life to Jewish outreach and was in a Baal Tshuva yeshiva for many years. The guy who puts the black hat on in 2 weeks or 4 weeks is usually the guy that the next week it's off and he's back in America doing whatever and not following his Jewish path. But Dr. Walder was very committed, and he always used to joke about himself. He put the black hat on after 2 weeks, and now the job for the rest of his life was to fill what was underneath the hat, and learn Torah he did. So it it really is an amazing story that at 44 years old, that someone can make those changes. And this is really the first lesson that hit me when I was listening, when I was at the Levaya, when I was at the funeral. And one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about Project 613 and the work that we're doing, because I think about the assimilation rate right now in America, somewhere between over 70% of our people. And we lament, obviously, that in the Holocaust, a third of our people were wiped out physically, right? But now we're on a pace of over 70, almost 80% of the American Jewish community is assimilating out of total existence. So if someone is not there physically because they've been removed physically, or if someone is not there because they don't identify anymore, you know, it's baseball season. The box score is the same. It's still a zero. So if we're physically removed or spiritually removed, we're hemorrhaging massive amounts of talent. And I thought to myself at the funeral, how many Dr. Walders are in downtown Chicago or in Manhattan or who knows where Jewish outreach efforts are going strong all over America and the world. And I thought to myself to redouble our efforts, because who knows who's out there? And, you know, Dr. Walders won a generation, but a half of Dr. Walders out there, for sure. I'll take a tenth of a Dr. Walder to focus on and bring back to making Jewish decisions. I always wondered if Mark Zuckerberg would have gotten involved more at Harvard. I know there's a famous picture of him dancing with the Chabad rabbi there. But if it really had an impact on him, maybe his philanthropy, maybe his decisions and his political clout would have been decidedly more pro-Jewish. Unfortunately, they are not. So I want to get into a little bit of the personal connection that I have with Dr. Walder. You know, as a parent, the best way to know someone, a child or a child's friend, isn't during carpool. Right? When you drive carpool, you learn about someone. And the same thing goes with a minion. The same thing when you daven, when you pray in the same minion to someone, you get to know someone's personality. And Dr. Walder, he davened, he prayed slowly and intently. As I said before, he was always on time. And what was so impressive is that after every mincha, after every afternoon prayer service, there was a long line of people asking for money, asking for advice, asking for direction. And no matter if the person was nice and kind in his approach or pushy, Dr. Walder was the same consistent, kind, amazing individual. I always say that in life much of the time comes down to two things. P and C, our PCs, the process and the content. It's not only what you do. It's not only giving the check, the content, the giving of the check and how generous he was, but it was the process. It was the way in which he gave the checks. It was so beautiful and so kind and so thoughtful. And no matter if you were the fifth person or the 15th person, you got the same smile. You got the same kind just approach. And I want you to know, I've been with and asked many different people for money. It's really very quite special. So, okay. I want to talk about next, not only the kindness of Dr. Walder and Mrs. Walder's giving, but really how they gave and how they give. So it's not only the endless amount of buildings and organizations that they have built and they are building, but they created systems, pillars of education and funding that will last well beyond his years. And this is why I'd like to coin a term of entrepreneurial chesed, entrepreneurial kindness. Dr. Walder used all of his entrepreneurial expertise of being a trailblazer, a visionary. At the funeral, you kept hearing this word visionary. He was an entrepreneur of chesed, of kindness. He innovated ways to create not only a check, but institutions that would help and fill a need. So Walder Education helps teachers become the best they could be, provide them resources, not only teachers in Chicago, but through their web resources, the millions of downloads. They have an extensive teacher training program, and they put their money where their mouth is to make teacher salaries of the STEM subjects feasible for a Jewish woman or even man to be able to be a teacher and to be able to support a family. And this is very much connected with Walder Science, which is, you know, the Jewish schools do a lot of things very well. You know, science education may not be one of them. And so they saw a need. They created Walder Science, which is literally educating the Jewish day school kids in Chicago about science, things that they really would not be taught in a great way. And they've invested heavily in it. Of course, there's Walder Foundation, which is their philanthropic wing, which is actually such a pleasure to deal with. I deal with many foundations, and it's their personality and their kindness runs through everything. But I want to focus on the next entrepreneurial kindness that is just so fascinating that it's just unbelievable. And it's called the Kehillah Fund. Now, people in Chicago know about this. The Kehillah Fund is basically a way that every Jew in the community pitches in as a type of tax or donation, but it basically creates a fund in which all of the schools get extra funding. And where did they come up with the idea? There was a wonderful man named Mr. Farkas, and he was the old world Yid, and Dr. Walder became close with him. And Dr. Walder, obviously, who's concerned not just about writing checks and donations, but thinking about how to solve problems, that same scientific mind, he was trying to solve the problem of Jewish day school education funding, tuition, which is so difficult. And Mr. Farkas said, hey, back in Europe, we used to have this thing called a fund, a Kehillah Fund, in which the entire Kehillah, the entire community would pitch in, and everyone would be able to split those funds to pay for Jewish schools. And Dr. Walder said, that's a great idea, an old new idea. And he implemented it here in Chicago with currently, I believe, 11 schools. And Rabbi Tursky at the funeral said something unbelievable. You have people who are donating to a fund that gives to schools in which you would never send your children. God bless them. There's a huge range of schools here with different approaches to Judaism. And they're all wonderful and they're all holy, but just different approaches. And every Jew, they found a way to concretize Jewish unity, that not only we're going to give lip service to Jewish unity, but we're actually going to pay for it. And we're going to bind with each other to come together to pay for one another's tuition, or at least to help. And that is absolutely an unbelievable system and organization that really takes Jewish unity from a theoretical concept to an actual concretization and implementation. I'd like to switch now to Dr. Walder's relationship to wealth. You know, our world is crazy about wealth. Money, 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 money. And as I was driving over, I said, I know the Buick is going to be mentioned at this funeral. And it was mentioned at least four times. And which meant that he always drove a Buick LeSabre. I saw it parked in the parking lot year after year when I would pull up. And even after he sold the company, one time I remember he got a newer version of this Buick LeSabre, but I don't think it was ever a brand new Buick LeSabre. And everyone used that as a symbol of that he was in control of his money, and his money was not in control of him. It never impacted him. The house that where they live is always humble. I always say, if there was 100 people lined up, who would you guess would be the billionaire? He would be the 110th person. He just was a very simple exterior, but a deep and profound and holy interior, and the way that he related to others. And there's two more points that I want to make. One is that I was so happy. All of that I knew. All of what I just shared with you about his external achievements is absolutely true. But I was so thankful that his two sons, Moshe Chaim and Mordechai, spoke. And I want to share with you just a similar point that both of them made. So Moshe Chaim has lived in Israel for many years now, and he and his wife and his family is learning Torah full time. And he talked about one time where he and his father were in the backyard, and it seemed that Moshe Chaim was in a crossroads of his life, a Jewish life, just a transition. I don't know if he was a teenager, but basically a time where maybe the decisions that he was going to make may or may not be positive, or may or may not be what his father would have wanted. And Moshe Chaim cried at the Levaya, and he said, "Abba, when I told you where I was and where I was holding, you said to me that you'd love me either way, that whatever decision I would make, you would love me." And Mordechai said, unbelievably, he said, every time he left his father said that he loved him. And the last words that he said, and even though Dr. Walter was sick for many years, they were not expecting him to die at this moment. And the last words that his father told Mordechai were, "I love you." The last thing that I'd like to share is this concept of time. You know, Dr. Walder became religious at 44 years old, and he died at age 73. And the last 7.5 years, he was sick and increasingly out of public life, certainly out of public life for many of those years. And so if you do the math, 29 years of being a religious Jew and 7.5 years sick, you're left with 21.5 years. And in 21.5 years, just a drop over 2 decades, he changed the Jewish world, not only here in Chicago, but around the world. In 2 decades and change, he changed the Jewish world. And what does that mean for us? What can we do in 2 decades? What are we doing now for the Jewish people? What are you doing now for the Jewish people? Dr. Walder gave his life, every moment of it. In his work, he was working so that he would be able to have tzedakah to give the Jewish people. This is a life that demands of us to ask ourselves, what are we doing with our time? What are we doing to help the Jewish people who need so much right now? What are we doing now to become closer to Hashem? What more mitzvahs are we going to do? What more Torah learning are we going to do? What more kindness are we going to do? What more tzedakah are we going to do? His life inspires us to do all of those things and demands us to do all of those things. So, Dr. Walder, thank you for everything that you have done for us, for my family, for the outreach work that you always supported and that your foundation still supports. And thank you for being an inspiration and a light for what we all can achieve. We will do our best to follow your example and not to let you down. May your memory be for a blessing. Thank you all for listening. God willing, see you again right back here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.